भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 47, the Song of the Bee, also text 47, is it? Yeah. Param sukhyam hinarasyam.
Param sukhyam hinarasyam.
Okay, 1 minute. So small. Svairinyapi apingala.
Svairinyapi apingala.
Tajjanatinam na krishne. Tatapya sadurachaya. Param sukhyam hi nairasyam. Svairinyapi apingala. Tajjanatinam na krishne. Tatapya sadurachaya. Param sukhyam hi nairasyam. Svarinyapi apingala. Tajjanatinam na krishne. Tatapya sadurachaya. Param, the highest. Sukhyam, happiness.
He,
indeed.
Nairasyam,
indifference.
Svarini,
unchaste.
Api,
although.
Aha,
stated.
Pingala.
The prostitute Pingala.
Of that.
Janatinam. Who are aware.
Naha.
For us.
Krishna.
Focused on Krishna.
Tatapi.
Nevertheless,
Nevertheless.
Asa,
the hope,
Duratyaya,
is impossible to transcend.
Translation. Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. Purport. The story of Pingala is narrated in the 11th canto, 8th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just a moment, I have to just read for myself the previous two verses, just to get an idea. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyanandana Salakya Chakshura Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Nama Si Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Si Guru Si Yutapada Kamalam Si Gurun Vaisnavamsya Si rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatham vidam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam si radha krishna padan sahagana lalita sivisakan vitam stha he krishna karuna sindho dinabandho jagatpate
Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyaccha Sakripa Sindhubhyevaccha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So in this chapter we are entering into the topmost aspects of Krishna consciousness. We are here entering into the description of the deepest moments of separation from Krishna felt by the gopis in Vrindavan, and particularly by Sri Mata Radharani. It is said that when Akrura came and took Krishna away from Vrindavan, practically life stopped in Vrindavan. The Yamuna stopped flowing. The cowherd boys were lying unconscious in the forest. The trees were drying up. What was the point? What was the point of continuing to live if Krishna was gone? And yet the residents of Vrindavan did not die. They did not die because they continued to live by the rope of hope. Maybe he might come back, and then if we have died we'll miss out, so we can't die. But they were close to dying, very close. There was no point. There was no more desire to live. But somehow or other they lived on with the hope that Krishna would return. And Krishna, of course, did not return. But Krishna sent Uddhava as a messenger. And Uddhava was Krishna's cousin, and he looked very much like Krishna, very similar to Krishna. From a distance, one might mistake him for Krishna. When the gopis first saw him at a distance, they thought for a moment, has Krishna come? And then they saw, no, it's not Krishna. But then they thought, well, but who could look so much like Krishna? He must certainly have a connection with Krishna. And all the gopis were very eager to speak with Uddhava, who indeed had been sent by Krishna as a messenger. But Srimati Radharani was too far gone, basically. She was too far gone. She could not recognize Uddhava. She was just so much overwhelmed by the separation of Krishna that she didn't even see Uddhava. Instead, she saw one bumblebee. And as she saw that bumblebee, he was going from flower to flower. And as he was going from flower to flower and everywhere taking a little honey, she just thought, just like Krishna. Just see. Just like Krishna. He goes here, he goes there, but he never stays. He conquers the hearts of many and then he just leaves. Right? Just like Krishna. So therefore, she took it that he must be the messenger of Krishna. And she thought, I'll let him know. And she said, you unreliable servant of an unreliable master. So she spoke quite harshly to that bumblebee. But then the bumblebee went away and she was getting worried. What if he says all these things to Krishna? That will be not good. So she thought, maybe I went too far and really this will drive him away. That is not good. So somehow or other the bumblebee returned, and then she spoke very sweetly. And then she tried to pacify him and say nice things so that the bumblebee would pass on a nice message to Krishna. In this way, Radharani was roaming around in a state of madness. Right? So, this is a very elevated topic, because we are in another type of madness. Nunam pramate yat indira pritya apninuti. We are mad by the desire for enjoying our senses. And therefore, it is a big gap between our Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness that is displayed here. Because for us, Krishna consciousness is a struggle. We are always trying. To be Krishna conscious. Yesterday, we spoke about Advaita Acharya, and the theme of the lecture that that we discussed in Sydney was basically this, that Advaita Acharya, he was the one who by his worship was able to bring Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to this world. Therefore, Advaita Acharya is especially approached, because if we pray to him, then the Lord can appear. And where is the Lord supposed to appear? It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the Mangala Charan. There are 14 verses. And in these 14 verses, basically, the whole book is summarized. Right? And there it is said that the purpose of spiritual life is that Ridaya Kandare Vosachinandana, that in the innermost chambers of the heart, there Sachinandan, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna Chaitanya, must manifest in the innermost chambers of the heart. That's our problem. Right? Because the outside shell, we have nicely decorated it, right? Tilak and so many places, mantras and whatnot, right? We know all kinds of tricks, right? And what can we not do? So many things. We chant this mantra, that mantra, quote a slok for any occasion, no problem at all. We can do all that. Right? But the innermost chambers of the heart, what is there is kept so secret that we wouldn't tell anyone. We wouldn't tell anyone. Not our closest family members. We would not mention it. Some things are in there, in the innermost chambers of our heart, that we wouldn't even dare to speak of. Even speak it out loud. So secretly are we thinking and hiding our sinful desires. So this is our predicament, this situation. And somehow or other, we carry on by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by taking shelter of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can stay on the spiritual path, and Mahaprabhu can make arrangements to purify our heart from whatever is there. But we are not like the gopis who have really embraced Krishna completely, and Krishna has entered in the innermost chambers of their hearts. There's nothing else, nothing else. Like once I was at the check-in counter on an airport, where else would I have been? And sure enough, and the lady behind the counter asked, would you like a window seat or an aisle seat? Well, I'm the window seat type, you know, because I want to see. I don't know how much I fly, but I'm still a kid. Every time I still want to see. And I want to sit next to the window, right? So I had my window seat and I was sitting there ready to look, and then I thought, well, let me read a little bit, like here in this place so full of Maya. So I opened up the Nectar of Devotion and I read that the gopis, they didn't want to see anything if it wasn't Krishna. And I said, here I am, big Swami, big Danda, right, with my window seat. So what to do? What to do? The innermost chambers in our heart, right, are still not 100% filled with Krishna. And that is the difference between us and Krishna and the gopis. And therefore it is very difficult for us to really understand. We say, no, I understand. Yes. By now I understood. They are totally focused on Krishna. Yeah, but you have to feel it to really understand it. And we don't have that intensity of feelings. That is the point, that here in the material world, the feelings become dull, reduced, flat feelings, like a flat tire. Sort of empty feelings, a little peak, you know, and we think, wow, oh, now I'm really living, life is worth living. Right? I live and I feel like whole life is just gushing through my veins. Something like that, you know. Poetry can be written, but it's all flat. It is all dull. It is all dry. It is all poor. It is all just a weak reflection. Just like we know about Nam Abbas. You have Nam and Nam Abbas. And to chant Nam, Sudanam, the pure holy name, can only be done by one who is a pure devotee of the Lord. And others who are still contaminated within the heart, they chant Nam Abbas. That is translated as the dim reflection of the holy name. So in the same way, you have Bhakta Abbas, right? Yeah. The dim reflection of a bhakta. So, that's it, you know. But we are walking around thinking that I am bhakta. Right? Yes, I am a devotee. We are thinking. But actually, yeah, just at best the dim reflection of a devotee. So, some sort of pale reflection, right? No color, no life. So, this is our situation. And here we are looking at Srimati Radharani, whose every moment is just so deep and so intense that it's beyond our conception. It's beyond our conception. We've never had such strong feelings. Therefore, we are not faithful. Right? Our nature is to be unfaithful. Right? Our nature is to be unsteady. Our nature is to be fickle. Our nature is to change. Our nature is to doubt. Do I really want this? Am I sure? Am I really sure? That's our bhakti. Our bhakti is weak and fickle and full of doubt, and we think, well, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to carry on with this. Do I really, really want this? And we walk in Melbourne, downtown, and we see people enjoying, and we think, well, maybe I could also. Oh, Maya. Oh, but it looks good. No, it's bad. It's bad, but it looks very good. No, Maya, please, Krishna, help. Save me, take me away. So, this is our Krishna consciousness. In the Nectar of Devotion, there's a statement about Uddhava, since we are also speaking about Uddhava. And Uddhava's devotion, right? Uddhava was sent to Krishna by Krishna as a messenger to Vrindavan. But Uddhava was not only sent as a messenger to Vrindavan. Krishna is very expert, and many times with one act, he serves many purposes. And therefore, Krishna, he also had sent Uddhava to Vrindavan so that Uddhava could learn what real bhakti is. Because Uddhava was also sort of walking around thinking, well, you know, I'm Uddhava, I'm quite close to Krishna. I even look like Krishna. And naturally, because I'm dear to Krishna, I'm one of Krishna's dear most devotees, Uddhava was thinking. And of course he is, but then there is dear most and dear most, or most dear most, whatever way you want to say it. And those That we find in the residence of Vrindavan. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is a mention that there's a discussion going on that Krishna is lying on his bed in Dwarka, and it is said that Krishna has a headache. The rumor is out, and everyone knows Krishna is not well today. He did not get up. He has a headache. And everyone is quiet. Until finally, Satyabhama. Of course, Satyabhama. Satyabhama, who has a hot temper and who cannot keep her mouth shut. Satyabhama, who always has to say what you're not supposed to say. Right? Of course, Satyabhama again. Right? She did it. She had to say it. Why are you all walking around quietly like that and acting as if Krishna has a headache? Please, Satyabhama, no. I mean, it's too much. Everybody knows he doesn't have a headache. Satyabhama, please, don't, Satyabhama, no. I can't tolerate this hypocrisy. Everybody knows the real reason why Krishna didn't get up today. Satyabhama, please, don't talk about it. We know very well that Krishna is in separation of the gopis of Vrindavan. And do you know why Krishna married 16,108 wives? You know why? Because he has 16,108 gopis, and these wives are reminding him of the gopis, because Satyabhama said he doesn't care at all about any of us. Satyabhama, shut up! You can understand the mood, right? This Satyabhama is impossible. But that is the situation. That is the situation. It is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita like that. So, Krishna is always thinking about the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore, Uddhava was sent to see the depth of the devotion of the gopis in Vrindavan. And Uddhava could see, I have no bhakti at all, actually, compared to them. I have no bhakti at all. These residents of Vrindavan, they are just incredible. First he went to Nanda and Yasoda, and Nanda was chastising Mother Yasoda, saying, this woman, she always gets mental about something, always. And she's all upset, you know, that Krishna has left. She said, just relax. Krishna will be right back. Why are you getting so worried about things, you know? Just be peaceful. Right? And Mother Yasoda could see and said that Nanda Maharaj has gone mad. He's gone mad. He thinks that Krishna has just gone to the forest with the cows and that he is just coming back. He's lost it. Krishna's not coming back because Nanda let him go with Akrura. Oh, how could he do such a thing? So in this way, they just keep on talking about Krishna who is left. And then when Uddhava comes, oh, how is Krishna? Thousands of questions about Krishna. Tell us about Krishna. Just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And we are the opposite. Right? Every day, again, I have to chant 16 rounds. Right? Every day, sure. I just finished the ones of yesterday. Right? and already, again, does it ever end, this chanting? Does it ever end? And that is the answer. No. This chanting will go on forever. And we think, really? Yes. That is perfection. Chant forever. Right. So like this, you know, it's inconceivable the level of Krishna consciousness that is attained by these pure devotees of the Lord. It's just something that we can sort of try to think about and try to understand, and we just pray to them for mercy, and we just realize that, well, probably this lifetime, probably not in a million lifetimes will I ever approach something like that, but anyway, there is only one thing for me, and it's called Asabandha, and it translates as hope against hope. Yeah? Hope against hope. That in spite of the fact that I know that I'm lacking, in spite of the fact that I know that my heart is steel framed, that I have no spiritual emotions whatsoever, in spite of that, I'm still hoping that I will get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Asabandha, hope against hope that I may still get the mercy. And therefore, I will never give up my devotional service. Never. Whatever may happen in my life, right? I will never, never give up my devotional service. For no reason. No matter what happens. Even if the whole world explodes, I will still continue with my devotional service. Whatever happens, I'm ready for anything. Nothing. Nothing is ever going to break my devotional service. Because I know if I somehow or other hold on to that, Mahaprabhu is very kind. Very merciful. Very merciful. And he may just, he may just give it to me. Krishna Prem. Just like that. He may just give it to me. And he may just take me back to the spiritual world. And we got to get out of this place. Right? It's just too much. This material world. It's absolutely too much. It's just really a heavy place. Maya, depicted in deity form as Durga Devi, seated on a tiger, right, is holding many weapons in her hands. And one of these weapons is a trident. It is the trident of the threefold miseries. Adiatmika, Adibhautika, Adidaivika kles. Suffering from mind and body. Suffering from other living beings. Suffering from the devas and all the arrangements they make. Hot, cold, wet, dry. And so on. Right. Pollen. Australian pollen. Right. There's two places in the world. In Cape Town also, they have these tropical flowers with big tongues, you know. And then on the airport, they have a big poster of a valley of flowers, right? And the whole wall is a poster. As soon as I see the poster, I start sneezing. The material world is just like that, you know. It's just like that. You think paradise and wait until you get there in paradise. And then somehow or other, your nose doesn't cooperate, you know. Everything is, it's all set, you know. All set, ready to go. We're going to have a great time. Right? And then just, you're just there, beautiful, everything wonderful. And then the nose goes off, you know. There you go. There was a clip, a TV clip of two guys. They were going for a picnic, and they had a big basket, and everything was in there, and it looked really good. But then, forgot the can opener. So, you know, what to do? Try with a rock, you know. The stone slid off the tin and hit his finger, black fingernail. He said, well, forget this stuff, you know. We'll go for the oranges. That was in a little net. So they're trying to pull the net open. That cut his fingers open. And the whole picnic was like that, you know. Just, you know, some things are packed in a type of plastic, you know. You just like, you can't get it dead. Right? You can't get it open. Right? It was one of those picnics. Right? Where it just really... And life is a picnic like that. I just went for a little japa walk right before this class, so I'd get a little fresh air. And in one flat on the door, they had a poster which said, "Life is like a crocodile." I don't know, but somebody sees it like that, right? I mean, I was thinking, I don't necessarily see it that bad, but some people do. Some people make posters like that. Life is like a crocodile. So I thought, go back and make a picture of it for my next slideshow. So like that, we have different perceptions, but it's not so easy. Right. So I know in Australia it all looks kind of easy, you know, should be right, should be sweet, right? No worries, good on ya, right? Sun shines, you know, right? And life is just, well, you know, there's lots of good things, and why not have them all, right? You know, the Australia, see, in other places as well, let's have something good, but in Australia it's like, well, I mean, we may as well have everything good, you know? Let's try and have it all. That's the Aussie mood, sort of, right? Let's not be shy about it, you know? If you have cheese, you know, okay, let's have the subject. Where's the cheese, right? Let's load it up, right? And why small pieces? Big, you know? Let's do it big. Big chunks, right? Why not, you know? Okay, chuck in some ghee. Plenty of it, right? There's no shortage. Put some extra, right? And why not some yogurt as well to grease it up a bit, you know? And like this, you know, have the good of life, right? That's the Aussie mood. Last night we were talking about it because I was invited in somebody's home, and it was like that. And they said, yeah, you know, we were in India. And, you know, we were in the Ganga and we were just playing around, you know, splashing around in the water and throwing things around. And then, you know, some German devotee or European devotee came and said, Prabhu, Prabhu, this is very offensive. You are not teaching your children properly. Yes, to have respect for the Ganga. Yes, Mother Ganga is very holy. Yeah. And it's like the Australians, yeah, mate, sure, you know. All right? No worries. It's great. There's no doubt about it. Nothing like the Ganga. And they made, and in response to this German explanation, the Aussies made a little bomb dive from the bank. And a big splash, right? What can we say, you know? So, when the Aussies used to come to Vrindavan, when I was the temple commander, I thought, let me be nice to them and give them a room of their own, you know? And I opened it up, and it's a nice room, I thought. And, some straw mats on the floor, and they're looking at it, you know, and they go like, mate, where's the carpet? It's so austere. I'll never forget it. It happened in the 80s, but I'll never forget it. Hey, where's the carpet? We gotta sleep on this. Yeah. I mean, pretty hot. Anyway, so I guess this is not the country for too much austerity. It's not exactly the mood. You know, life is good. Love is sweet, you know. It's great, mate. How's it going? In other countries, how's it going? All right, carrying on. You know, in Europe, you ask people, how are you? So-so, you know. How are things? Not too bad, you know. That's the answer you get in Australia. You know, how's it going? Great! Great! Right. So, it's a little difficult to tell the Aussie that the material world is actually a hellish place. Yeah? I mean, it is a little difficult, you know. Yeah? I mean, you know, there's a surf, there is a swell, right? Everything goes well, and of course there are jaws, you know. There are jaws, yeah. There are. Huh? And it's like, you know, and that's how it is, you see. It's all a nice little thin layer of veneer, And it's nice. It's like if you take sugar and you put it in water and you boil it down to a sugar syrup, you can boil it down until the sugar sets and create and becomes crystallized and creates a crystallized layer of sweetness. Right? And it's nice. It's really nice. Until it cracks. And once it cracks, right, then you can never believe in it again. And therefore there are people that fall out of the boat all the time, of the boat of enjoyment, because something in their life goes wrong. It cracks. India is the land where always something goes wrong. Always. If it's not a flood, it's an earthquake. If it's not a drought, if it's not a tsunami, if it's not a some disaster or other, right? In India they're used to it. When the tsunami hit India, people cried, but the whole world came to India and said, do you need any help? Help with this disaster. 7,000 people officially, of course more, because they don't even know how many people live in India. They don't know. They're just guessing, because not everyone declares their kids in India. So they don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so many people died. But India's used to it. Right? And somehow or other they have that spirit, you know, where that even in the midst of the heavy features of the material world, right, where it's not all glossed over like in Australia, right, but where you just see the suffering very directly in India, even in the midst of that, people are strong. In India, you see everything in the open. You're on the train, and some beggar comes, and his arm is grown together with his body. And it's like a wing. It's like a wing. And he walks around with that wing, you know, begging, and it looks so intense, right? Looking like, oh, you know. Intense. Of course, in India, people are used to it. You can go. It's just like I was telling India stories, and I was with Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, and we were in the Czech Republic, and we were together telling India stories. And I was telling some story about something in Benares, how they throw the bodies in the river if they don't have enough money to burn them, and how in the rainy season there was this. You know, sometimes things flowed by and we were bathing in the river and this little hand came in the water. Honest, there was a little hand in the water coming. People splashed a little water and the hand went. Goodbye. So, you know, in the West that would make the newspapers, right? For sure, you know. Hand in the Yarra or something, you know. That would be headlines, right? For sure. But in India, you know. Chalega, chalega, chalega. Everything chalega. It will go. So, like that. So we were talking, and when I told him about the little hand, Maharaj also got into it. And he said, yes, he also went to those burning ghats in Benares. And when he came there, he said he saw one man, and he was burning a body, you know, on some stack. They're burning bodies anywhere. So the man was, sometimes a little piece of the body would fall out, and he would throw it back in the fire, like this was going on. One of those typical Benaresi pastimes. And Maharaj was watching, and he's talking to the man. And the man says, oh, you are a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He said, oh, this is very, very auspicious. He said, my mother was also a Gaudiya Vaishnava, he says. My mother was also a Gaudiya Vaishnava. He said, she was initiated in the Gaudiya Math. Maharaj said, wow, that's amazing. That's very special. And the man turns around and says, yes, and this is her body. He's burning the body of his own mother and sort of casually sitting there, sort of squatted down, throwing the pieces back in, and just starts a conversation, you know, with some sadhu who walks out. Yeah? And it's like just another reality. Yeah?
just sort of like the two cultures, the two worlds, Australia and that side of India, right? That side in Australia, you hide it, you don't want to see it, you know, as quiet as possible, don't talk about it. Shh. There are people in Australia who have some handicap. No problems, we give them the best we give them, right? We give them everything they need. They're happy. Because they're so well cared for in Australia that even those who have handicaps, you know, they forget it because they're so well cared for. That's Australia. So we don't have much of that suffering. But in India, it is so out in the open. So India has suffered greatly from famine. People actually starved. In some villages, you see how on the roof of the hut that people live on, there are some leaves growing. And if you look carefully, you recognize them. They look like pumpkin leaves. Yes, they are. They grow a pumpkin on the roof. Right? A pumpkin on the roof, yes. Why? Well, you know, in case, just in case, at least you have a pumpkin. It's a big thing, you know. That will go for a week, right? So it's always handy to have a pumpkin, right? For poor people. Right? These things are, for some people, are a reality. Right? It may sound like far out, but in other... Just to point out, that's still for today, even in India today, still a reality. Yeah. Not for everyone. There is an upcoming middle class. India is going forward as an industrial developing nation. Right? Yeah, in the cities. But we know that way out there in the district, there is still such poverty, and there are still people growing pumpkins on their roof. And just in case. But in spite of all this, people have remained strong because they had faith. They have this very, very strong faith that cannot be broken. That is the spine of the nation, their faith in God. Very, very strong. And therefore, they have tolerated all types of hardship and all types of suffering. So anyway, we are here looking at two contrasts. I have painted now the place where life is good and happens to be called Australia. And I have painted a place where life is also good, but where, you know, there is austerity, where there is suffering, where there is difficulty, and so on. I've painted these things. Not that India is just a place of misery. It's very nice, actually. Very nice. But that aspect is there. But I've also shown how people, in the face of material enjoyment, can become shallow. And living in so much opulence, and living with all kinds of facility and so on, come to a point where they never think in their life.
Why think? Well, you know. Yeah, never done that. You know, think. Yeah. Never thought about thinking. Why would you? Yeah. What a thing to do. Think. Who thinks?
Just enjoy. That makes more sense. So like that. But actually we see that... if we start thinking, then we see that there, in the material world, always this duality. So how can we believe in the material world when this duality is always there? Tell you one more story. One year, we're having a tour. I'm in the heavy stories now. I don't know what happened. The mood turned around, right? Very heavy story. One year, we were going... with a group of people in Europe to the north. So in Europe, the north is cold, right? So it's getting colder. And we're going way north with an excursion. So the tour organizers, they thought, for entertainment, let's show some videos on the way. It's a long drive. And to get into the mood, show us some penguins, show us some polar bears, and, you know, just to get into the mood of we're going north, right? So we're seeing all these polar bear things, and at one point, there is these emperor penguins, you know, the big ones, right? That can... So the male, first the ladies are sitting on the eggs, right? The ladies sit on the eggs, but then it gets winter and it gets too cold and the ladies go south, right? But the men stay there, and in minus 70 the boys sit on the eggs, right? And all throughout the dark of winter they sit on these eggs, yeah, the boys, huh? It's a man, right? It's a man's job, right? No one else can do it. You gotta be tough, rough as guts, to kind of deal with that, right? So the men sit on the eggs the whole winter, and then at the end of the winter it gets a little warm, then the guys also go south, you know, go for a break, right? And the eggs are left alone. And then as the first rays of the sun appears, the winter is over, light is there, and the eggs are warming up. And yes, at one point, as the eggs are breeding in the sun, they all crack. And all these little penguins come out, hundreds of them, on the ice. And because they have big flat feet, you know, as they move on the ice, they sort of slide a bit. And immediately, they figure it out, you know. They figure it out how to ski. Yeah? And they are expert skiers, really. And the ice is sloping down towards the ocean. And before you know it, hundreds of penguins are going, you know, down the slope, you know, really like. And they slide down the slope like that, just right off the edge, in one dive, hundreds of them. And then just in the movie we saw, just then, this killer whale came and opened its mouth and ate them all. The demon. God. The demon ate my penguins. I'm still not over it, you know. And still, if I ever get that guy, you know, shoot. But he got away quick. So what to do? That's the material world, you know. That's the material world. Just in the middle of the height of their enjoyment, really. They had so much fun. So much fun. And then this rotten whale came in the middle of it. Yeah, so here we are, so distracted by the material energy. Don't trust the material energy. It's treacherous. Maya is a witch, right? She holds this trident, the threefold miseries, and she throws opportunities at us, and we say, wow, the chance of my life. And then Maya comes and stabs. With the threefold miseries. From body, mind, other people, and the natural circumstances. So we should not think it's all great and beautiful, because the duality is really there. Even in Australia. Even here. Yeah. So therefore, as devotees, we must renounce. Here it said, this verse, I'll read the text now to show you that actually I'm speaking on the verse, because you think this Swami is just telling all kinds of stories, and it's nice, but what has it got to do with Bhagavatam? Well, just to prove that it has something to do with Bhagavatam. Indeed, the greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, right? As even the prostitute Pingala has declared. So ultimately, the greatest happiness is to just give up material desires, because we know they trap us in getting attached to the material energy, and then you get kicked by the material energy. Therefore, better give them up. Right? So it says. But here, Srimati Radharani is even interested, or the gopis are even interested in giving up their attachment to Krishna. Because even their spiritual desires, they want to give up. Because even they are suffering from their attachment to Krishna. So this is the most difficult thing to understand. The suffering that is there in separation. And here we want to go to the spiritual world, are you sure? And suffer eternally. You want to go eternal suffering and separation of Krishna. And say, no, no, this suffering is the greatest source of happiness. I see. Yes. Yeah. It's not like material suffering. It's different. It's spiritual. And there, in the spiritual world, the suffering is also ecstatic. Really? Very interesting, mate. Tell me more about it, right? Can I have another serving of that ice cream? Yep. Yep. Put the nutty crunch on top. Yeah, that's fine. Right? So what did you say again? The suffering is also nectar. Yeah, right. So it's very difficult to figure it out, to understand this point, to really understand it. Of course, it is said, well, yes, it is, because in the suffering there is remembrance of Krishna, and that remembrance is the greatest ecstasy. And as one suffers separation from Krishna, one's remembrance of Krishna becomes so intense that one's attachment to Krishna in the separation is much greater than it ever was. And therefore, it is said that even the suffering is ecstasy. You got it? It remains confusing, although there is a philosophical explanation. And therefore, the sentiments that are described in this 10th chapter, in this 10th canto, are, we read them and we get only the peak of the iceberg, really. We get only like an idea. The depth of these emotions that are experienced are much greater than anything we can capture. And we read it and we discuss it now in the Bhagavatam class. And we'll read it again later in our life, and we'll just realize, I didn't understand anything about this. And again and again, as time goes by, we realize that actually, it's way over my head. Yeah. So in a way, I'm speaking here on a verse that's way over my head. Way over my head. And I'm afraid that it may be way over anybody's head, because the... although I'm sure you're all dedicated advanced Vaishnavas, but to even approach the pure devotion of the gopis is something very difficult to conceive. Very difficult. So we approach it respectfully, knowing that we cannot fully understand, but trying to understand something. And that is our mood in approaching these pastimes. And therefore, we don't just go, like Prabhupada was invited for lunch somewhere in some family, and he said, oh, Swamiji, can you tell us something about Ras Lila? And Prabhupada didn't entertain that. He didn't. Because it's so pure and so exalted and so deep. Our shallow feelings never reach those levels. Okay, I'm back to where I was before in the lecture, so that means that when you start to repeat yourself, that means it's the end. And it's just as well, because it's 10 to 9, and I'm sort of targeting 9, so maybe with a question we get close, and if you end a little early, that's also good. Questions or comments? Not all together. Not everyone all at once. Eh? Yes.
Devadatta Maharaj was here. He said that the whole Holy Vajra movement was in mood of separation from Krishna. And even the six Goswamis had said they had never found Krishna, but the whole mood was in separation. Now, there were such exalted people in Srila Prabhupada too. So what was in the chamber of their heart if they felt separation? Because I would have thought they would be totally, at one with the Lord in all moods.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's the nature of the separation.
that in their heart, Krishna is there. Yeah? We were discussing the verse that describes that one must accept the Lord in the innermost chambers of the heart, and that was the basis of the class. Yeah. That we don't have, right? What we have in the innermost chambers of our heart, it's hard to say. We don't even want to say. No. But such devotees, they surely have Krishna in the innermost chambers of the heart. But still, they have a deep desire to see Krishna face to face. Just as like if you have, you live in Australia. Imagine you have a daughter who lives somewhere in Sweden, you know? It's far. I tell you, it's far. It's like 32 hours journey and on planes and this. It costs you a fortune, an arm and a leg, right? And your daughter is in your heart, but you want to go to Sweden. Yeah? You'll go. And it's cold, I mean, and it's dark, right? Who in the world, which Australian wants to go to Sweden, especially in the winter? But you'll go, because your daughter would be there. Right? So in the same way, they have Krishna in their heart, but they always have the eagerness to see Krishna face to face. And therefore they still feel separation, although Krishna is in their heart all the time. They think about Krishna 24 hours a day, but they're always thinking, I want to meet Krishna face to face, in person. Where is he? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And in this mood, although their heart is full of Krishna, still in separation. And then, but in that mood of where is Krishna, wanting to see Krishna face to face, their meditation on Krishna in their heart is so deep that actually they're all the time totally absorbed in Krishna. Uddhava, when he came, at one point he tells the gopis exactly what you are sort of thinking about. He tells them, why are you so worried about separation of Krishna? Krishna is always there. Krishna is in your heart. You can just meditate on Krishna. He didn't go for that. He said, you can tell us many things, but we want Krishna. We want him here. Yeah? We want to touch him. We want to talk to him. We want him in person. That's the thing. That's why the separation is there, although they always think of Krishna.
In the depth of their thinking of Krishna, they say, we want to forget the guy because he's causing us so much distress.
Yeah.
Which is contradictory.
That's right.
But still they're thinking of Krishna, trying to forget him.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. Okay, can I have my mic back? I've given it back. Doesn't work anymore. Yes, it does. Anyway, yeah, so, and it's, even in our neophyte state, yeah, it's so hard to forget Krishna. Yeah, what to speak. There was one devotee, he just said, I have enough of this, I'm out of Krishna consciousness, I don't want to have anything to do with you guys anymore, I'm quitting, you know, it's all just, you're just a sect, a cult, it's all nonsense, right? And we didn't hear about him for 5 years, and then he published a book, and the book was How Can God Be a Blue Boy? Yeah? So 5 years he's trying to say I don't believe in this, and he still has to write a book about it, you know? He still has to write a book, How Can God Be a Blue Boy? It means he's been thinking all the time about that blue boy. Yeah? So even for us, once attached to Krishna, you can't forget Krishna, even if you're a little attached to Krishna. What to speak about gopis, no chance to forget Krishna. Anyway, so we pray for their mercy that we may not forget Krishna, because we can manage to, even while we are in front of the deities, right, you know, with our neck beads, with our tilak, with our dhotis, kurtas, with our beads, with everything, Govindam Adipurusham, what will be for breakfast today? Right? I mean, totally somewhere else. Right? We have this ability. Right? It's amazing what capacity we have to forget Krishna. I'm just amazed. But somehow or other, let us make a conscious endeavor, at least today, to remember Krishna.
today. And then we'll worry about tomorrow, tomorrow. So today is a special day. It's Remember Krishna Day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.